You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Friday morning. It is 6:06 on this September 26th. 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here, not from the Lake Wissota studio, but from here in Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, just off the Capitol Square. But we are pleased to have you live across the Civic Media Radio Network from wherever you're spending your mornings listening or watching, and appreciate you wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you. It's not much of a pop quiz, but we'll bring Parker Olson in anyway, who's producing this thing.
Oh, God, I thought I was done with pop quiz.
Literally right across the room from me, right here, but lighting. Lighting is everything,
yeah.
As I've come to learn. I got a question for you. Packers, Cowboys, who do you got?
Well, America's team is not exactly America's team anymore.
It's never been America's team.
There you go.
So long ago.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
That is what we take here. At Up North,
it's amazing that the Cowboys still get the attention that they do. I mean, they've done
well,
nothing.
Well, they just keep blowing themselves up so well.
It's on.
That's why
they are the Kardashians of the NFL.
That is a really good line.
They're famous for being famous. They don't actually do anything of any consequence except fight and create drama.
Yeah,
that's it. And so. The Packers head into there like they've walked onto a soundstage. Like, I'm in a reality show. You've got Jerry Jones's, version of Disney World there under the, what is that, the AT&T Stadium, whatever
I believe
it is
that's now. What I just call it Jerry's World.
Jerry's World, where it is so far from City Stadium where the Packers used to play before Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Where it was just folks on the bleachers and enjoying a football game. It is such show business now. However, it is a national stage. It is Sunday Night Football. Coverage will begin at 5 o'clock Sunday on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And so, I mean, it is a fair question after what happened, against Cleveland last week.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
Do we think the Packers can get back on track against the Cowboys? And so that's one of the questions heading into the weekend. Maybe it's not your biggest question.
I think it'll be okay. I'm not too worried.
You're not too worried?
I'm not too worried.
Okay.
The Packer defense is fine, except for when they absolutely need to be not,
Well, when we are starting this show on Monday, sleep-deprived, we'll have a rough idea of where things are going here. Yeah. So again, that's kind of our question, getting set up for the weekend here. And, of course, you can let us know your own thoughts on the Packers taking on the Cowboys. You can also just ask any other questions or make comments, of course, by just heading into the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media, or using the Civic Media app to text us. Remember, you're going to need that Civic Media app to text us about an hour from now when we give you the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could win tickets to see Green Bay take on Minnesota come November. So that's the football end of things. Then we've got baseball because, again, we're heading into the final weekend of the regular season. And in many places, it's the final weekend of baseball, but not here, as the Brewers go for wins 97, 98, and 99 on the season, which would each be a franchise record. They're taking down the Reds, and the pregame begins at 6:35 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. And the Reds are... they're in the fight of their lives right now, Parker, along with others. So they're going to be motivated. So
yeah, I worry a little that we might get our doors blown off because I think we're starting to mail it in a little.
Mail it in means we're resting up the starters.
Okay,
we're getting even though they will have like a week off, trying to avoid injuries. Trying to avoid dumb mistakes this weekend.
You know what I want to see this weekend?
What do you want to see this weekend?
I want to see Jacob Mizrowski out of the bullpen.
Yes. You know what? Here's my bold prediction, which isn't that bold. I think they'll do that. I think they'll try that.
Yeah. Good.
Why? Because I'm pretty sure I heard Pat Murphy say that.
Oh,
saying a few days back, like, yeah, we might try him out of the bullpen just to see how that goes.
I did not know that. Okay.
I'm
a genius.
I could be making it up. Maybe you're not that clairvoyant. I don't know. But I would like that very much. And it's nothing against him. I mean, again, those first couple of starts were magical.
Yeah.
But I think hitters were able to dial into him pretty well.
So. Yeah, I mean, MLB is so hard.
Like, there you go. Put that on a plaque.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's what it is. MLB is just so hard.
Mm-hmm. It is, and he's finding that out, as many pitchers have, when you come in with all kinds of heat, and then they turn you into meat. And that's just... That's how it goes. Reminder that you can stay up to date with what we're doing at Up North News by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And Ellie has created a special edition today, chock full of fall festivals and Oktoberfests, and even a preview of some of the Halloween attractions that are going to be coming up across Wisconsin. So get yourself signed up for that newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And get today's special edition. And then, of course, we've got our Sunday morning edition as well that I work on, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow, coincidentally enough. And I ask this week, if there is another government shutdown next week, who will be to blame? And a lot of people want to answer both congressional Republicans and Donald Trump. And I'm asking, look, if it's either or, who's to blame more? And how many people think it's Democrats? Perhaps the other question, and maybe the next week's question I should ask is, if there's a shutdown, you know, will Democrats cave? Because that's exactly what the Trump administration is hoping for, as I'll discuss with Kia Vakil coming up here. So again, that's part of our question of the week. You get that on Sunday mornings by signing up for our newsletter there. Roger reminds us on Facebook that the Brewers' magic number is 1. For home field number one seed all through the playoffs. It just takes one Brewer win or one Philly loss over the course of this weekend, and we'll get that home field advantage, which will be great. I mean, extra home games, extra tickets. I still need tickets for tomorrow night. I was talking to my friend.
Still?
Yes. I'm like, how are you doing on those tickets? He's like, I'm going to work on that later. So,
dude.
I know. I think he's... Again, we've talked about this. He's trying to, in the stock market, they call it trying to catch a falling knife. And he's trying to bank on people going, they're in the playoffs. There's going to be playoff games. I'd rather go to that and not go to the series this weekend. But a lot of people thinking, hey, this weekend's the last time tickets are affordable.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I would have thought that with you being in town and having come down primarily mm-hmm. for the reason of going to that game, yes. I kind of thought.
I did too. I'm not gonna lie.
My 2 cents. I'm not gonna say too much about your relationship with your friends, but just so you know, that's my 2 cents. Pat.
His wife is away on a trip this weekend, and so it's been great just catching up. We have told all kinds of stories. We've asked each other, hey, whatever happened to so and so?
Oh God, yeah.
And it's been really nice, grilling out in the backyard and things like that. So yeah, it's been kind of good to catch up. It's been a good little break. It's been good to finally see you. We got to go to coffee yesterday. That's a joke, by the way. People know Parker does not drink coffee, but you sat there and watched me drink mine very nicely.
Yes.
As we talked about how to move things forward here, and we're moving things forward in a nice way. And today's history lesson coming up in a bit. We can't give many details because Greg Bach might be listening in, but
that's true.
We've got a part of our history segment tailor-made for Greg Bach's weekly visit to come see us.
I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to this too. It's all the pressure. You think the pressure's on me and Greg to be entertaining. It's actually all on Parker because it's all technical. It's all about production.
This is
and
true.
Whether we can pull this off or not. So we'll see. So stick around for that coming up 20 minutes from right now. There's so many different ways that we can head into the news and talk about what is happening here in terms of, for example, the trumped up, literally, charges against former FBI Director Jim Comey. But we'll wait to talk about that in our next hour with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, because, again, it does indicate a weaponization of the United States Department of Justice, which, again, as we've said so many times, it has always been about projection with America's right wing. is that they accuse you of the thing they want to do. You know, Donald Trump did not like being finally hauled into court and ultimately convicted for fraud when he committed fraud. And he called that the weaponization of government, so that when he gets in, he is actually weaponizing it. And in the case of Jim Comey, trumping up a charge that would not be prosecuted in any other way. And no career prosecutors were involved in this, by the way. Nobody wanted to handle this case yesterday. It was a political appointee who has never tried a case who went to this grand jury to get the indictment. And what's the old saying in law? You can indict a ham sandwich, but the trick is getting a conviction. And so, you know, there are tactics at work here that Kia Vakil will talk about in just a minute. So we could talk about that, but I do want to mention a few words about the teacher in Ellsworth, Krista Lasecki. And after communicating with her last night, it appears that she will no longer be teaching in Ellsworth. She could not give, you know, details of any kind of a separation agreement or anything like that. But it is a case of, even if she agreed to it, even if she put her name on the bottom line, let's keep in mind that she has lost her job teaching, not because of any words that she posted. She has the freedom to do that. She lost her job because of a sitting member of the United States Congress, her congressman, Derek Van Orden, who then threatened the city of Ellsworth with a loss of federal funding if this one teacher was not disciplined, called out, made public, doxed, everything, for making comments about Charlie Kirk that he didn't like. But again, while Krista has expressed regret for bringing some unwanted attention to Ellsworth and takes responsibility for her words, they do not rise to the level of hate speech. And that's what Derek Van Orden and all the others were claiming. Good Lord, no, not hate speech. There is a saying, the way you die does not change the way you lived. Charlie Kirk's record is clear, and so is Krista Lasecki's. One of them taught children well for 30 years in western Wisconsin. The other taught children to hate. And some of Charlie Kirk's acolytes are in true hate mode right now, which, I mean, ultimately is not a surprise. What it has done in our country, it has brought a new red scare to America. It is costing Americans their jobs for actions that do not rise to any legal level of impropriety. But when you have people from Wisconsin, like Joseph McCarthy then and Derek Van Orden and friends now, who have no regard for the rule of law, only the rule of a dear leader, only a cult of personality, you will have Americans having their freedoms curtailed. And that's exactly what happened to this teacher in Ellsworth. And that's exactly what has happened to now countless Americans around the country, no different than the Red Scare of the late 40s, early 1950s. This entire administration and the people who conducted themselves in this manner will bring a dark stain to American history. We're always told by the right wing, oh, you're teaching people to hate our history. We don't hate our history. We tell an honest record of our history. And that honest telling will be one of hateful people doing harmful things right here in Wisconsin and across the country. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back. It is 6:22 on this Friday morning, and let's begin our week in review, get you caught up on all the things you might have missed over the past week. Of course, we've got our panel coming up in the next hour. And in this hour from Courier Newsroom, we've got national political editor Kia Vakil from Los Angeles. Kia, how are you?
I am all right, Pat. How about yourself?
It has been another week in Trump world where, you know, the norms mean nothing. And I think that the headline from yesterday, and frankly, the one from the day before, that really captured this, okay? It's a sitting president directing the Department of Justice. Yesterday, it was George Soros, who finances lots of left-wing causes. Courier Newsroom gets some of support from him as well. The day before that, it was the FBI former director, Jim Comey. And of course, before that was ABC. Now, Jimmy Kimmel was put back on ABC, and I kind of thought, well, maybe the tide is turning, but clearly Donald Trump didn't get that memo, and it sure seems like he's content to continue trying to turn the U.S. Department of Justice into his own personal, you know, legal vengeance tool.
He is going to push every single limit, law, rule, norm, whatever you could think of, and he's not going to win all of them, but he's going to, you know, it's going to... It already has, in a lot of cases, forced companies have just settled and given in rather than deal with the legal onslaught. They, or, you know, risk over being regulated in some way they don't want. And it's alarming because it's essentially, you know, one man using the power, the mighty power of the American federal government to go after anything he doesn't like or approve of, whether that's a TV station, a show, a host, a George Soros, a liberal organization, a voting rights group, you know, the ephemeral thing that they claim is Antifa. You know, there is no shortage of targets they could go after. They can, you know, and they're, again, they're not going to be successful in every case or maybe necessarily in even most cases. But if you force enough, if you force these groups, most of which don't operate on huge budgets, most of which, you know, may not even have in-house counsel, to have to fund legal fees and defend themselves, that could force a lot of them into bankruptcy. This is a favorite tool of authoritarians to use the power of the state against any enemies, real or perceived.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is we have continued sliding toward that authoritarianism, toward that autocracy. And there are very few guardrails left. Now, one potential one that certainly has public support is finding justice for the victims of sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. And that, in some way, shape, or form, we still don't know how, but Donald Trump is named in those files. And there's this petition in Congress to release them. And now, thanks to an Arizona special election, Trump's effort to distract from anything but the Epstein files might not work. So can you talk a bit about what a discharge petition is and what happened in Arizona to maybe change things?
Yeah. So basically, in Arizona, special election to fill the seat of a lawmaker who died. His daughter won the seat. She had been a longtime lawmaker. So that gave, you know, enough representatives to sign on to the discharge position, which is filed by Republican Thomas Massey from Kentucky, who is a kind of was a Tea Party guy and has like been one of the, I mean, pretty much the only Tea Party guy who's still held to some principle in the Trump era and has become a thorn in Trump's side. You know, I don't want to lionize the guy. We have a lot of disagreements, but he's been pretty consistent on Epstein, which, you know, in the face of everyone else who's backed away from giving a crap about it on the right. So Thomas Massey introduced this discharge petition that will need 218 signatures, a majority in the House. And right now they've been at 217 for a little while. It's been every Democrat, Massey, and a couple Republicans. But the win from the Arizona lawmaker, the Democrat, gives them 218, which would essentially then force a House floor vote on the release of records related to Jeffrey Epstein. And so that would, one, put every Republican on the record for either voting for or against that. Two, presumably, if they have enough votes on the discharge petition, they could get enough votes for the actual release of the records. You know, what would happen after that with the Senate is unclear, but that's what would happen. Right now, what we're seeing is the White House and congressional leaders are really, really pressuring those couple Republicans who signed on, trying to force them to retract their signatures, basically. I am not a conspiracy theorist by nature. I am not someone who was always chasing after the Epstein files. But the way in which they've responded over the last 6 months, and especially to this discharge petition, really suggests there is something really, really nefarious and not good for Trump in those files.
And by the way, let's make clear that if you say you stand for law and order, if you say you stand with getting justice for Epstein's victims, you should know that most Republicans don't agree, at least not enough to sign that discharge petition. No Republicans from Wisconsin are on there. But if that petition is filed, they would then have to be on the record voting for or against the release of those files. And then finally, we have the prospect of a government shutdown next week, and President Trump is ratcheting up the pressure more than a couple of notches with threats of, you know, layoffs far beyond what would be required in a government shutdown. Kia, my own question to you is, do you think the Democrats will hold the line and hope that public pressure falls harder on Republicans rather than Democrats to be the good guys and stop the shutdown?
I think in the short term, yes. I think we're going to head for a shutdown because Trump doesn't want to meet with Democrats, doesn't want to negotiate, has no interest, canceled a meeting, and is now essentially trying to mob boss bully them into agreeing to pass a spending bill without extending Affordable Care Act subsidies, which really is the one like key thing that Democrats are pushing for. I think we're going to have a shutdown. The question of how long it is, I don't know. I think will Democrats, hold firm? I don't know. Depends what the politics of it turn out to be in the coming weeks. I could see it going either way. This is a shutdown I could see going on for honestly quite a while because you have Trump and his, loyalists in Congress who have no real respect for anything, and Democrats need to show fight. And so this could be a recipe for an extended shutdown.
It truly could. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor, telling us about all that and more as we get started on the weekend here. Kia, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Pat.
Coming up, we'll have today's history lesson. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Greg Bacchus here, everybody, and we're going to do TV themes. You know the words. Sing along. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Actual lyrics.
Spanish.
I actually learned the name of the group that does it. The Ventures was the name of the group.
Yeah. Doing the. They were hugely influential on British, like, rock and roll. Like, they were very, very... Oh, no. You know what? And the Shadows. Ventures and the Shadows.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm
Friday. Great. It's nice to
it
have you here.
It is Friday.
Yeah.
I came in super early this morning to do some work, and you have that thing where you go to the office and there's nobody there, and you get more done in like 25 minutes and 30 minutes than you're like, I've been here for 9 hours and I got one thing done.
Yes. Oh, I know. And it is. Sometimes you just need that little isolation in it.
Yep.
Anyway, for today's history lesson, Greg, we're going to make a game out of this. We have so many anniversaries today of TV premieres that we're going to make you our first contestant on the TV Tunes Pop Quiz.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Okay, you're hearing the first of four TV themes. We're going to play three more, and then your job is to put them in order by the date the show first premiered.
Oh, this is just a fun and easy quiz.
This will be easy. All right, well, here's hint number one. All four of these shows premiered on September 26th.
Well, it is today is history.
Okay,
awesome.
I got that going for me. All right, here's hint number two. They all premiered in the 1960s.
Okay, all right. Oh, my God. I'm not cheating. I'm writing
it down.
I
know. None of them in the same year. Okay. And then bonus points if you correctly guess the year of each show, not just in what order. Okay. More bonus points if you can correctly guess the network. And even though this is overwhelming you, I'm hearing some listeners out there going, "Oh, bring this on! This is going to be great."
Only Roger is saying that.
Okay,
right now.
It is only Roger and Steven's point. It's true, but at least there's one. So here
we go. I felt less anxiety when I took my ACTs.
Okay? I know. I love this. So make a note of the show. Your guess on what year it debuted, what network is on. Are you ready for TV tune number two?
I guess. Yes.
He's made this way more. Okay. Hit it. Number two.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Again, this was
all of them had hair of gold.
A show that premiered in the 60s on September 26th.
Can I guess what show it is?
No, you can't.
My job. This is, shut up.
We only have one contestant here, all right?
He knows what the show is.
I'm Alex Trebek. You're Don Pardo. Stay over there, announcer.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so Marsha, will Greg get this one right? We'll see. All right, here it comes. Oh, by the way, quick reminder, Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch performed at my high school prom. I know.
You just said the name
like
of the show.
You weren't going to get it. Here comes TV tune number 3.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic point aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man.
And again, Greg's looking to figure out what year these all premiered. Have you got this one down, little buddy?
Shut up.
The guy was so happy. He got so much work done, and now I go and throw this pop quiz
at
him.
Yeah, you like really, like you took away everything.
I took away his joy.
I all feel right. like, I, deep cut, I feel like Scarlet Witch and Endgame, you took everything from me.
Here, Greg, is TV tune number 4.
Come and listen to my story about a man named
All right. I got him.
You got him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, we're going to leave this go because everybody loves this part coming up.
Oil, that is. Black gold, Texas
tea. There we go. All right, Greg, for a grand prize of absolutely nothing but pride or a consolation prize of public embarrassment, put these 4 TV tunes and their shows in the order of their premiere. As Todd Alba would say, what say you?
Well, a really quick question for clarification.
Yes.
None of them premiered in the same year, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That'd be a rude guest.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with the first one being the Beverly Hillbillies premiering in 1964.
Okay. Beverly Hillbillies is the correct answer for the first one.
Oh, how about that?
All right.
On NBC?
It was 1962 and on CBS. Oh. But you still got it right, so give him a ding for that. All right. That'll work, too.
I don't have a ding. That's all I got.
All right. That's fine. Okay. Which one?
1962.
Which one was next?
The next one would be, if I want to guess correctly, would be Gilligan's Island.
Oh, you are very good at this. Yes. Congratulations.
And that would be 1964.
That is 1964. Do you want to guess the network, too?
CBS.
That is correct as well.
Whoa.
Boy, we're going to wear this key out over here. All right.
I hope I get something wrong.
Which one was third?
Brady Bunch.
Ooh, no, sorry.
It was Hawaii 5-0?
It was Hawaii 5-0 in 1968, also on CBS. Okay. And then the Brady Bunch was
1969.
Do you happen to know that network?
ABC. No,
that
they,
is
no,
correct.
No,
not even gonna let you second guess yourself. You got it.
All right, ABC. Okay.
So Beverly Hillbillies on this day in 1962, Gilligan's Island on this date in 1964, Hawaii 5-0 premiered on this day in 1968, and the Brady Bunch premiered on this day in 1969. What an easy peasy, enjoyable music quiz that was for you, Greg Bach.
That was great.
I'm gonna go get a drink.
I mean, what else was I going to do with I had 4 TV themes sitting there in front of me. What else could I do with that but have a little fun?
Very true.
And
I have a question for Parker really quick.
Yes.
Oh, no.
How many of those shows had you heard of before this?
Every single one of them.
You'd heard of them.
I have heard of every single one of them. I have seen a little bit of Gilligan's Island. I think I've seen a little Brady Bunch. I had not seen Beverly Hillbillies at all or Hawaii 5-0.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you never watched the reboot of Hawaii 5-0 from a few years ago?
No.
Okay.
Hawaii 5-0.1.
Yeah, right.
Pat's Island.
Pat Island
Pat's
instead
Island
of Gilligan's
of
Island.
Misty
guessing on YouTube. It does kind of feel like Pat's Island here. We're just right here in the middle of Studio A2. Shall we get back to some traditional history stuff? On this day in 1964, when that was that Gilligan's Island premiered in 1964, which I forget now. Anyway, the number one song was by Roy Orbison. And Oh Pretty Woman would be the number one song for 3 weeks.
I love Roy Orbison. My dad loved Roy Orbison. That black and white concert from, what, like 89, 90, something like that? It was on PBS. Amazing, amazing television.
Such a good artist. So again, Pretty Woman, the number one hit this day 61 years ago. On this day in 1905, Albert Einstein publishes his theory of relativity. RFK Jr. still doubts it today. On this day in 1960, the first televised debate took place between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy at a Chicago TV studio. On this day in 1986, this is another one where I'm 100% certain Parker's got nothing on this. This was on this day in 1986 when Bobby Ewing, played by Patrick Duffy, returned to this TV show Dallas. His death this previously was attributed to his wife Pam having a bad dream, which, when Patrick Duffy wanted to come back to Dallas, gave them a hook to erase the entire previous season and restart all the storylines. Look at Parker reacting to this. Because it is as stupid now as it sounded then.
I wish that happened with the new Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
What year was that again?
That was 1986.
Okay, so I was 8 years old when that happened. I watched that show as a kid. Shouldn't have watched that. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but yeah. I watched it. I remember when Bobby was shot, and we were like, "What's gonna happen?" And then I remember at that age being like, "This is junk." What? He walks out of the shower and he's like, "Hello there." I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yes, it was JR who was shot, by the way, his brother. Oh. But then brother Bobby wanted to leave the show and did. And then was like, "What did I just do? I left the number one show. I want back in."
And how was his character supposedly to die?
I don't remember how Bobby actually died. I don't know. Parker's right away. He's got the fingers working across the Google machine right now. Oh, you jumped right on the keyboard. I thought for sure. All right.
You listening, WBA?
Yep. It was on this day in 1969, Abbey Road, the last recorded album by the Beatles, was released with songs including Here Comes the Sun and Something and Come Together and Golden Slumbers. Again, Abbey Road this day was 1969 when it was released. On this day in 1974, in Beatle member history, Apple released John Lennon's fifth studio album, Walls and Bridges, which featured this number one tune.
Sounds like Saturday Night Live.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, it does.
And this was the year before it premiered, and it was a bit of a duet with a relatively unknown Elton John. We'd only had one or two hits at this point. So Whatever Gets You Through the Night and Number 9 Dream were part of Walls and Bridges, released this day in 1974. Let's get to birthdays. The late country singer Lynn Anderson, who sang I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, was born this day in 1947. She died about 10 years ago. Country singer Carlene Carter is 70 today. She had a string of hits in the late 80s and early 90s. The late, and I'm always sad to say this, the late Olivia Newton-John was born this day in 1948.
Interesting fun fact about Olivia Newton-John and Carlene Carter. I mean, Carlene Carter comes from royalty in country music, basically. Yes. Her direct lineage is to almost the birth of it. And Olivia Newton-John, originally a country singer in America. People weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
Not happy about it, but she started out as a country-politan singer.
Yes, although there was so much what you would call country rock or, you know, look at the Eagles. The Eagles were essentially a country band in the beginning, some of those tunes too.
Yeah.
Then Olivia figured out, hey, there's money over here on the pop side.
She did it before Taylor Swift did it.
Yes, she did. Serena Williams is 44 years old today. Let's see. On this day in 1987, Whitney Houston scored the fifth of seven consecutive number one hits with this number one song.
I
On this day in 2012, Pink lands her first number one album with The Truth About Love. It was her sixth studio album, and it featured Blow Me One Last Kiss and Just Give Me a Reason. And it was on this day in 2020 that Donald Trump nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett for a U.S. Supreme Court seat to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, made the nomination despite it being so close to an election, which we'd been told previously you weren't supposed to be able to do. I know. Crazy stuff. I know. It's
weird.
It's a mystery.
And in the coming days, she would lie in front of a Senate subcommittee about her views on abortion. But let's get back to the music, Pat.
Yes, exactly. That's a bit of today's history lesson. Our Week in Review panel will be along the way in our next hour. And, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Mike Clemens previews a busy weekend for the Brewers and the Packers. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Down the line, a moment in the soul can last forever. Comfort and
cure. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Do you feel classy now? We've got Greg Bach with
so
us,
classy.
Parker Olson, and George Gershwin, the composer who was born this day in 1898, and of course his masterpiece, Rhapsody in Blue. Somebody, again, passed away way too soon, 1937, so that would have made him, what, 38, 39 years old? I believe from cancer or something related to that.
Wait, he was born in what year?
1898.
And he died when?
1937.
39, yeah. Oofers.
So I know. But Rhapsody in Blue, and just one of those, it's worth a listen, the whole 17, 18 minutes of it. But again, to show what an uncultured slob I am, I'm like, you know, if we could just lift like the best 6 minutes out of that, that'd be great, you know. And of course, United Airlines said, here's the best 60. And it's the only 60 seconds anybody knows of Rhapsody in Blues from all the United Airlines commercials.
Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line and the next available operator will be with you.
Exactly. Hey, we everybody except Greg, had a little fun in the last segment with a little music history. So it's time to bring the room down as I continue a few notes about history today. It's this day in Trump history. And I wouldn't have to read this, but again, I just think it's noteworthy of the times that we're in. I already mentioned 2020, nominating Amy Coney Barrett just days before the election. On this day, 2 years ago, 2023, Donald Trump was found guilty of fraud. A judge ruled that Trump and his family, the family business, fraudulently inflated the value of his properties and other assets. Meanwhile, on that same day, 2023, Joe Biden became the first U.S. president to walk a picket line with striking auto workers in Michigan. And yet Michigan went to Trump anyway. So can't be nice to people, apparently.
And let's
get off of that. And one more historic note from this day in 1580, Sir Francis Drake completed his circumnavigation of the world, sailing back into Plymouth, England, after nearly 3 years at sea. And I have to say, Greg, that, again, this is from, you know, 400 plus years ago, but you have to think that for the time, how cool was that? Like, I've gone around the world. Nobody else has done this. And I don't think he said, how cool is that? But whatever.
Those were his first words when he got off the boat. Yeah. How cool was that?
Do you know how awesome I am?
Do you know how awesome I am?
I only lost a third of my staff to dysentery. How cool was that?
There were some beheadings. You know, we brought back some enslaved people. But yeah, how cool was this?
Are you gonna, wow.
In your retirement, are you going to do that on the pontoon boat?
Do what?
Circumnavigate the world.
Circumnavigate the lake?
I can barely circumnavigate the lake. I live on a river. I can only go so far. My whole life is between two dams. You've heard of between two ferns? I'm going to start anything between two dams.
That can be your – you can do a podcast interview show on your pontoon boat called Between Two Dams.
I'm liking this.
I like this a lot.
Yeah. I am. I think this could work out. This would be great. Yeah. What's happening with Matt Nair on air these days? You having some fun?
Yeah, we are. Today we have, it's Friday, so that means we're going to have Dan Schaefer on the show in the 10 o'clock hour, 10:06. He's going to be here talking about all the news we need to recombobulate, as he is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, so you want to stick around for that. And then, you know, in the first hour, we're going to be catching up with all the news. Jamie, get ready for Friday. It's the weekend. I'm excited because I'm going to the Brewers game tonight. I know they have everything locked up, but I'd love to see them walk away from this season as the most winning team in baseball. And I don't want the Phillies to win anything.
I like that. Yes. And I will be at the game tomorrow night.
Nice.
I think. We're still working on tickets.
I will for sure. I don't know what you're doing over there.
I know. Somehow we'll get it figured out. And then we've, of course, got the Packers on Sunday night where I think, Greg, again, I know you miss me here in the early mornings, but thinking about the Packers playing Sunday night and then having to do a 6 a.m. radio show, how lucky do you feel right now compared to Parker?
Oh boy. Parker, are you a big football fan?
Of course he's from Whitewater. I mean,
you can't say, are you a big football fan? And he says, of course he's from Whitewater. That doesn't make, there's no logical connection for me there.
Do you like cheese? I'm from Wisconsin.
That's not the same comparison. I don't think of football in Whitewater. I think of football in Green Bay or football in Wisconsin, but not Whitewater.
Oh, you've offended Parker now. Oh, you should see the look.
Well, I don't know. Instruct me, inform me, let me learn from you. This is so cool.
Wait, what? Do you know how cool I am? Whitewater football has 6 national titles, and they won them all in like 9 years.
Okay, that's great. Wonderful. So, I don't know those things. I'm, one, not the gigantest of sports person.
And you're not a huge not D3 my... college football guy?
Yeah, sorry. I only D4 and below, you know. Give me a good D7 team. I'm on board. Because that you have a chance of actually being asked to play on the field for them because they're like half the team didn't show up.
Yes, it's true. It's
they
true.
Circumnavigated the globe, and they're like they're in like Indonesia right now.
And Jimmy Koska's coaching them. He's so tired.
Yeah.
He's just
Jimmy is absurdly tired.
Then he's got a meeting after that. Then he's got to take his kids to a thing. And then he says, it's the guy doesn't stop.
And he's
working.
Going to lacrosse to report.
And he's doing
report.
This with the kids. And he had a social media post last night that at one point while talking to the team, his voice cracked.
Okay. Yeah.
And that the kids never, they just harassed him the whole rest of the night. And how do you like being the coach? And that happens like, no, listen, you kids. And they're just merciless. Kids are the worst.
Yeah. They're the worst.
Yes.
Ugh. Yeah.
And the best. Now go run some laps. Exactly.
There you go.
Greg, you were such a good, you were a moderate sport for playing along with that music quiz.
You were
going
to give me a compliment, and then you took it away.
I was going to say you were a good sport, but Greg.
You got 3 out of 4.
You got through this without wetting your pants. I appreciate that very much.
Oh, and so you know.
Well, it depends. Have a wonderful weekend. Have fun at the game tonight.
Thank you very much. You guys have fun at the game tomorrow night. Enjoy your time in Madison, Pat.
All right.
Have a great weekend, you too.
Okay.
Bye, Greg.
Week in Review panel coming up after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.